For those of you who don't know me, my name's Nathan, or Naif if you'd prefer, as my friends in Douglas Park call me. I just moved up to the coast this year. I love it up here, feels like home now. I'm doing MTS here in church. Before MTS, I met Jez at Bible College, found out about EV, and before that I was a landscaper. So that's a bit about me. I'm just going to ask God now for some help. Father in heaven, I just ask you'd speak to us tonight. Please, Lord, give us ears to hear. And I just pray that you'd help me to be clear, help me not to get lost, and help me to show the truths of your word. Amen. So tonight, and over the next few weeks, we're looking at Judges. Now, I don't know how much you know about Judges or how much you've read of it lately, but I read it just a couple of weeks ago for the first time in ages, and I couldn't believe how much of a crazy book it was. I reckon it's one of the most craziest books in the Bible. You've got a fat king who gets stabbed and the fat closes over the sword. You've got a girl who kills a guy with a tent peg through his temple, and then they make fun of him. They got killed by a girl. And you have Samson who kills 2,000 people with a jawbone. And then he writes a poem about it. It's just a crazy book. But there's also heaps of dark stuff in there too, really dark. And after Samson does his stuff, he says he goes and has sex with a prostitute. And then you've got all this other stuff in Judges that just makes me go, what on earth is going on? Why is this stuff in the Bible for? You might have heard a lot of old people I've heard say, back in my day, it didn't used to be like this. But back in old people's day, like really old people, it was bad. It was really bad. Sin, it's not a new problem for humanity. These stories, they're in the Bible for a good reason. And I'm looking forward to getting into them and hearing others preach on it in the next few weeks. Tonight, we're looking at chapters 1 and 2. And chapters 1 and 2 is Judges' own introduction to itself. And you've got two introductions in chapters 1 and chapters 2. And so we're going to have a look tonight, introducing the book, having a bit of an overview for its main theme and message. And the other weeks, they'll be digging into the stories a bit deeper. But before we get into Judges, it'd be good to give you a bit of context. So I hope you liked history at school, because you're about to get a history lesson on Judges from Naif. And if you didn't like it, it was because you didn't have me as a teacher. So, please turn, or you might be even further turned off it now. Please, we're just going to flick to one other passage. That's Genesis chapter 12. Please just flick there for a start. This is a foundation for all of the Old Testament. Dale took us here a couple of weeks ago. So, in this passage we're about to look at, these few verses, the Lord chose Abraham. Now, before Abraham, there was no special God's people. Now, we're God's people, Christians, because of Jesus. Before Jesus, Israel was God's people. Why? Because God chose Abraham. And this is here where he chose Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I'll show you." So God chooses Abraham for the people, tells him he's going to go to a land. Verse 2, "I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you, and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. From Abraham is going to come the nation Israel." And verse 3, "I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him. God makes a covenant with Abraham here, which you could say is like a promise. He will make him into a great nation. He's going to give him land. And he's going to use Abraham's offspring to bless other nations. The reason why there wasn't a God's special people before Abraham, and the reason why God chose Abraham, was because all of mankind had turned their back on God. And God chose Abraham and said, "I'm going to make you a blessing to other nations." He's going to use Abraham and his offspring to turn mankind back to God. God's plan to save sinful humanity. So, that's our foundation, that's our start. Now, jumping from there to Judges. So, not long after Abraham, I think we're going to have a slide. Not long after Abraham, Abraham is going to be turned into a nation. Abraham has a kid, and he has another kid. And then his firstborn son has two kids. That's a bit of a map about kind of how it works out. And he tells Abraham a couple of chapters later in Genesis that Abraham's going to die before he sees this promise fulfilled. And he tells Abraham his people are going to be in Egypt for 400 years in slavery. Then they're going to go to a land, the land that he's going to give them, and they're going to judge the Amorites who are living there. And we're told elsewhere in the Bible that the Amorites were sacrificing their kids in the fire, worshipping false gods and stuff. So God's going to bring judgment on this nation. So we've got Abraham, he has a couple of kids, and then they end up having 12 kids, and that's the 12 tribes of Israel. They're in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. And after about 400 years, Abraham and the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 people, they turn into 600,000 men, we're told. That's just as they've grown over the years, besides men and women. So they've grown under the pain of slavery in Egypt, and God gives them Moses, raises up Moses, takes them out of Egypt, going to lead them to the promised land. You might have heard the story. They cross the sea. They're about to go into the promised land. And then what happens before they're about to go in? God says, I'm going to give it to you. Do they take it? They don't. They get scared. They don't go in and take the land. God's furious with Israel. They wander around the desert for 40 years, waiting for that whole generation to die out first. 40 years pass by. The generation's wiped out. They're about to go into the promised land again and take it. Moses has died. Joshua's been raised up as a leader. They're about to go in. This time, what happens? They take the land. They trust God. They enter the land. And they go, great. They wipe out most of the Amorites that are there. And then this brings us to Judges. Please turn with me to Judges chapter 1. That wasn't a very good history lesson, I do realise. I apologise for that. So Judges chapter 1, we learn Joshua's just died. So Israel are going great. They're in the land. Joshua's died. Judges 1:1. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, who will be first to go and fight up against the Canaanites? So far, so good. They're asking God what they should be doing. God says to them, verse 2, the Lord answered, Judah is to go. I've given them into their hands. So Judah goes. Verse 4, when Judah attacked, the Lord gave the Canaanites and Perizzites into their hands. That's good. The men of Judah attacked Jerusalem also and took it. They put the city to the sword and set it on fire. Very good. Verse 10, they advanced against the Canaanites living in Hebron, formerly called Kiriath Arba, and defeated Sheshi Ahimi Talmi. Very good. They're in the land. They're winning. It's going great. But then we get to verse 19. The Lord was with the men of Judah. They took possession of the hill country, but they were unable to drive people from the plains because they had iron chariots. What? They had iron chariots, they couldn't take it. They failed. Verse 21. The Benjamites, however, failed to dislodge the Jebusites. Failure. 29, failure. 30, 31, 32, the rest of the passage. Israel failed to take the land. God promised Abraham he's going to give his descendants this land. They're in there, but they're failing to take it like they should have. Is God's promises failing? What's going on? Is God not strong enough to give them the land? There's a problem. Now, this reminds me a bit of a rugby season of mine, although it's not on a near enough scale of seriousness. And our start wasn't that good either, but it's the best story I could think of. So it was in the trials. We played the, it was under 17s. All my mates were on the team. We were pumped for the season. And we're playing the premiers from the season before. We drew with them. But we thought that's pretty good. They were the premiers. We drew. That's good. Then the season started. We lost the first game. We lost the second game. We lost every single game. And at one point, we lost 70-0. We hit an all-time low. We started off well with high hopes, but then we just failed. Kind of. We kind of started off well, if you draw as well. But these guys, they started off well, and then they failed. What happened? Chapter 2 tells us what happened. Well, first of all, though, where was God? Where was God? Verse 19 tells us right where God was. The Lord was with the men of Judah. So God was there. What happened? Either God wasn't in control, or God planned for them to lose. And if he did, why? Chapter 2 tells us why. Next few verses. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you guys out of Egypt. I led you into the land I swore to give your forefathers. I said, I'll never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? Now, therefore, I tell you, I will not drive them out before you. There will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. What happened? Israel disobeyed God. That's what happened. They stopped listening to all he'd said, and so he no longer drove out the nations before him. He was in control, but he punished Israel for their sin. So we see the story of Israel here. We see they've sinned against God. We see God's punished them for that. But what's this? Does this have anything to do with us now? Is it just a story that we read in history, something that happened? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 11 to 12, it tells us about much of the Old Testament history. And this is what it says to it, referring, I think, to these events and the events that were before it. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. We're to learn from the mistakes that they made. We're to learn from them, see the punishment God gave them, and know that if we disobey God, we will be disciplined too. And we're to think, how do we make sure? They started off so well and then fell. How do we've started off well. If we're here and we're a Christian, we've started off well. How do we make sure we don't fall? And you know, Israel's disobedience in Judges, much of it, at first glance, it was subtle sin, subtle disobedience. Have a look with me at verse 1 again, chapter 1, verse 1. They say to the Lord, who will go? God says, Judea will. But then it's not just Judea who go. They turn around to the Simeonites and ask them to go with them. They don't fully trust God. They've doubted him. They've disobeyed him in a subtle way. But it's just a serious sin against God. They didn't trust him. Now, it doesn't seem like it was that bad, that wrong. I bet they would have excused it and justified why. But they still disobeyed God. And there's subtle things in our lives too that can be subtle, that don't seem that bad, that can go under the radar, that are disobedience to God. So just thinking about some things that could be in our lives, and we've got to search ourselves and think about this. These are just a few things that might be. God says we're to give generously in light of the kingdom. He says you can't serve both God and money. You have to live for one or for the other. And Israel, they fell with idolatry back then. The New Testament says greed can be idolatry. But we might know that. We know that. But we say, if first I'll just save up for my car, then I'll be generous for the kingdom. Or we say, well, I'm not earning much at the moment, but when I earn heaps more, then I'll be generous for the kingdom. We can make excuses, but it's dangerous. It's subtle. We can start off going well, but must be careful we don't fall. It might be something like who we choose to date. I've heard so many stories of people who started off going well and then fell because they went out with someone who wasn't a Christian. You say to yourself, it'll be fine. I know it's not good, but it's not bad, is it? Hopefully, maybe I can convert them. But we start off going well, but these things make us fall away. Subtle sins. Or you might be a Christian and in a relationship with someone else, but you're wanting to push physical boundaries. How far can I go? The Bible says if you're not married, no far. But you might want to justify this and to say, well, the Bible doesn't say this exact thing, so that's okay. But if you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. It can be any number of things. We are warned. We saw Israel going well. We saw them fall. And it started off subtle sins and got bigger. So moving on to the next part now in chapter 2. Israel sinned. God punished them. That's a warning for us. But we also see in chapter 2, we see God's compassion here. After Israel had sinned, God raises up judges for them. Now, I don't know if you guys here are into superhero movies, but just recently, for the first time this year, I watched all the Batman movies. And I saw in the movies there's something bad going on in the world. People needed saving. Batman comes along and he saves the people and things go well for a while. People, they needed a saviour. Here in Judges, the people, now they're being, the nations are ruling over them. They're being oppressed. They need a saviour. And they don't deserve one. They've disobeyed God. But in verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16, then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. God provided saviors for his people. They sinned, but he had compassion on them. He's a compassionate God. But even after God raised up judges and he saved them, it didn't turn out like the Batman movies. People, they still keep sinning against God. It's not a happy ending. If you have a look at verse 18 with me, and this is the cycle for the rest of the book that sets us up for how all the stories play out. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their fathers, following other gods and serving and worshipping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. The judges, they saved for a time. But when the judges died, then Israel kept sinning and went back to the hands of their enemies. We see here in the book of Judges, there's a bigger problem than being oppressed by enemies. Israel had a bigger problem that was there. And the biggest problem that they had was themselves. They kept sinning and turning away from God. And that's our problem with the world today. That's why it's so messed up. Mankind sinning and turning against God. And you look at this and you go, how could you keep doing that, guys? God kept raising up judges. Wouldn't you learn? But they didn't. But you know, I know it's the same with me too. God save me. But yet I keep being prone to wander, as the hymn says. There's something inside me that just keeps wanting to rebel against God. There's a big problem there that needs fixing. If you have a flip to the back of Judges with me, please. Judges 21:25, the very last verse. Now, in between the intro and this verse, Judges just gets darker and darker and darker. Judges 21:25, and it ends on this note. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's how Judges ends. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone kept sinning against God. But even though Judges is dark and it highlights the sin of Israel and the problem that's there, it anticipates something that's coming. The start of 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. There's an anticipation there for something more. Now, in the rest of the Old Testament, some more history from NAEF lessons. In the rest of the Old Testament, after Judges, we have the kings that come in. There is a king that comes, King David. Things go well under King David. But after King David, it's just like Judges again. Just a downward spiral with all the kings. They needed something more than just the human king. They needed something more than just someone who'd rescue them from their enemies or their physical problems. And we're still waiting for God to totally fulfill through Abraham. How are the nations going to be blessed through Israel when they keep sinning? So how is the problem going to be fixed? Before we get to the answer, or highlight the answer, in Judges, we see many shadows of what God was going to do. We see in Judges, God had compassion on the people. He raised up the judges to save them. But we saw that even though God raised up saviors for them, the saviors were mortal. And the saviors weren't perfect themselves. And people had a bigger problem than sin. But we see a shadow of something that's coming. But then we get to the New Testament. And God does raise up a savior for Israel, through the line of Abraham, and the Saviour for that all mankind needs. And now, of course, you probably know what I'm going to say. His name is Jesus. But it is such an awesome thing that Jesus came. We see how much we needed him from the Old Testament. And you know what it says in Matthew when Jesus came? Do you know what Jesus' name means? The name Jesus. It means God saves. And when Jesus was born, God said, I'm going to raise up this boy and you're going to name him Jesus because he is going to save the people from their sins. God is the Savior that we needed. Jesus is the Savior that we needed. And Jesus is God, of course. But Jesus is the Savior that we needed. Jesus is the final king that Judges anticipates. The people needed a king. We have it now in Jesus. He saves anyone who puts their trust in him, taking the punishment we deserve for disobeying God. We don't deserve it. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve to be punished. But Jesus took the punishment for us, for me, so that I can be forgiven. The only reason I can be saved. What an awesome thing that is, that God sent Jesus. And the book of Judges, as we look at it over the coming weeks, it makes it so, so clear how much we need our King Jesus. He's the solution for the world. He's what's going to fix the problems. So from Judges tonight, we've seen that Israel, they disobeyed God in the promised land. We're to take the warning from their punishment. They started so well, but then they fell. We've got to make sure that doesn't happen to us. But there was a bigger problem than their enemies, and that was their sin. And Judges anticipates the king that God would send to save us, save his people from their sin. Amen.